Okay.
I'll explain it.
I hope you keep all of this in, by the way. It's good context. Yeah. Is that a lucky penny? Do you have a lucky penny for when you record episodes?
No, I was using it to loosen the fitting on the...
All right. That would have been a nicer story if you just pulled out a penny.
What kind of person do you think I am? Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you. Hello and welcome to I Hate Doctor Who, the 675th best Doctor Who podcast in the UK. My name is Richie. And if you're new to this podcast, like my guest here, if you're new to this podcast, basically the format is that I take people who don't watch Doctor Who, I find an ideal episode for them, make them watch it, and then we discuss it. So today, I am joined by Leah Silverlock. You can say hello.
Oh, hi. I thought there was
more background.
There was a bit to come.
I know. I could say your name and everyone would be like, who's that?
I know. What a magical name. Who is she?
It is a good name.
It is a good name. There's a whole fantasy series. A Canadian, a very, 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 very famous fantasy series that I don't know the full context of, which, dear listener, will happen a lot during this episode. I don't know the full context of it, but it's like a really very famous fantasy series where I think like the wizard or the druid or something is called Silverlock, and it's like a whole fantasy series about...
Is there a connection? Are you going to tell us there's a connection, or is it just...
No, there's no connection. Oh. Apart from the name. That's a pretty big connection.
I thought you meant like the writer was friends with... an uncle or auntie or something.
I don't know. Just basically when you search any Silverlock, that's the main thing that comes up is these books.
And you, I love you said very... I think you used three verys there when you said famous. Very, very famous fantasy.
Yeah.
But you don't know the name of it.
I think it's called Silverlock's Fantasy Journey. Through time, a bit like Doctor Who.
Oh,
excellent.
Good.
Segue in there.
So just to... give everyone context as to not that I want to reduce you to that role, but I should also mention that Leah is my partner, girlfriend. What word are we using?
You seem unsure.
Partner's fine, yeah.
Partner.
It's a very kind of... it's straight to the point, but it's completely devoid of meaning. Like warmth.
It's the grown-up way of saying girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because I'm not your significant other.
Ugh, I can't say that, though.
And I'm not your life partner.
Wait, you're not my significant other? What do you mean by that?
Well, because we're not...
Can that only be applied to...
I think so, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, you know, we don't have to get into that. okay, so... you're my partner. We live together.
Yes.
So obviously you're not completely without experience with Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. But you told me before we started, I asked if you had any questions and you said you had a few. What are your questions?
My questions are, what is the format of this podcast?
Okay. Well, I've explained that bit, so that's fine.
You did explain that. My other question was, what do I have to do for this podcast? I think I have to watch an episode, maybe.
Yeah, I've done an unusual thing here that I've done. We're doing the intro before we've watched the episode.
Okay.
So that's fun.
So that is fun. I've never listened to your podcast. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So, I brought you on. Mm-hmm. There's a few cliches I want to avoid. Obviously, I mean, you've talked about wanting to be on a podcast with me a couple of times, and I've been a bit like wary of the whole couples podcast format.
Yeah, you have been. I mean, that's the first time you've ever explained it in that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've never said I'm wary of the couples format of podcasts. You have just gone, oh yeah, maybe, or oh, no, we will do one. Don't worry. Or you just haven't answered. So I think if you just said that, I probably would have been like, oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could be our opportunity to pivot to, we can, and, you know, every couple's podcast I see at the moment seems to be that it's just a couple reading out people's letters.
fan mail? Should we do some agony aunt?
Yeah, people can write in their embarrassing Doctor Who stories to us. I don't know. Okay.
Or we could do like an agony aunt section or segment, and we could pick a character in Doctor Who, and then we have to read the response as that character.
But that's a good idea. If I was any good at impressions, that'd be a really good idea.
Who would you do? Who do you think would be the best agony aunt in Doctor Who?
The best agony aunt? Oh, that's a very good question. I think I would just go in the complete opposite direction and find the worst agony aunt. So I'd like to respond to people's questions as, say, like Davros.
All right, who's that? Is he the father of all the Daleks?
The father of the Daleks, yeah. The Dalek daddy.
The Dalek daddy. I think I would do that potato guy from that army. What's his name?
Strax. The Sultanin.
Yeah, the Sultanin.
The Sultanin.
Wait, sorry, what's it called? The Sultanin. The Sultanin.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay, so
I think he'd be good though.
But you do have a bit of podcasting. This is what's quite funny about this is you've got a bit of podcast experience already, but it's all corporate.
Yes.
You've done a few corporate podcasts.
That is very
in
true,
your
yes.
Work role, which is quite funny because you've obviously got a bit of experience in holding yourself in a recording environment.
Uh-huh.
But you need to let the messer in.
My alter ego, messer.
The messer. The messer comes in. Just, you know, we're having a wee glass of wine, so Leah's messer can come out.
Okay.
Anyway, so before I entered your life, what was your knowledge and experience of Doctor Who?
Very, very, very little. I think I have a couple of memories of being a kid and my dad watching Doctor Who, or like maybe seeing, like, you know, those Channel 4 or, like, Channel 5 documentaries of, like, the best whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best top 10 fake doctors at Christmas time. I don't know. And they have, so maybe a bit of that. And I guess...
You grew up in Ireland as well, we should mention that.
I did,
as well,
yeah. So. I am Irish. But, I mean, I don't think that the Doctor is...
No, I'm just saying, like, it would have been... No, I know, but it's like... It would have been even less on your radar than it would have been...
Well, I guess we are... Well, no, we love a bit of magic. We love a bit of time travel. We love a bit of legends and mystery.
That's... Okay.
But no, I think, yeah, so... Maybe a little bit on television. I think I remember somebody I went to uni with who... No, actually, that was Sherlock. They were obsessed with Sherlock.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think I avoided it, maybe, to be honest.
And your experience of Doctor Who now... Mm-hmm. The funny thing about getting you on is you are kind of an ideal contender, but also at the same time, you have absorbed quite a lot of it just from being in the house with me. But also... We've watched all of the modern ones together.
Yes, we have. So during lockdown, when we were all struggling and very sad, I remember one particular day where I was having a really hard time. It was very early on in lockdown. And I was really, really struggling. And I think we all were. And I remember I was in the bedroom and you came in to me and you were like, come and watch some telly. And I was like, no. And I think I was crying. And you were like... We're going to watch Doctor Who. And I was like, I don't want to watch Doctor Who. And you're like, I think it'll really calm you down. And I now know that it's your comfort show, so I think you also needed to watch it, but we didn't want to be alone. And at that first day, I think we watched maybe like 4 episodes. But not from the beginning. We watched some Christmas episodes and like random ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a very nice version of the story because...
Oh, is that not true?
No, well, no, it is. I think, it is. But I think before we did that, you had already seen the very first... You watched Rose, the Christopher Eccleston one.
Mm.
And you were like...
Oh, yeah. Right. No, I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
I was like,
and then it took a couple. And then we got to that point where we started... You finally clicked with it.
Yeah.
And... You were, yeah. fully on board.
I had some big hysterical moments.
Oh,
some,
yeah.
Some big... after my first regeneration, I was like, this is shit.
It is very funny. It's very funny watching it with someone for the first time and watch them go through the regeneration kind of thing of being like, well, this is exciting, but also I'm really sad. But also I'm very excited.
I was very sad when... wait, who came first? David Tennant or Matt Smith?
Oh, Matt Smith. David Tennant, and then it was Matt Smith.
I was very, 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 very sad when Matt Smith regenerated. Do you remember? Oh, and, oh. I was... Because
he turned into Peter Capaldi.
And I was really... I remember proper hyperventilating.
No. What do you... I don't remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was so upset.
Oh, wow.
But I think that's also, that was like peak.
Matt Smith took about fucking half an hour to regenerate as well.
I know. I loved Matt Smith. Oh, Karen. I couldn't do it.
So, do you have a favourite?
A favourite doctor? Mm-hmm. Oh, Richie, this is really difficult because, I mean, I don't like any of your black and white ones, 70s ones.
Black and white 60s, but okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. there are no doctors before Christopher Eccleston for me.
Christopher Eccleston and the Sultanas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good episode. although I do like that guy with the funny hat, the one that you like. With the... What's his name?
Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah. Okay. He's fun.
Okay, so... Actually, I was going to ask you... Oh, no, right. You know, tell me who your favourite is.
My favourite one... My favourite doctor... I think it's probably... Peter Capaldi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. He's a firm fave.
Yeah.
The thing is... I heard someone point this out recently, but the funny thing about Peter Capaldi is he's a firm fave for the older fans because he's the one that plays it most like a...
Like an older... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved David Tennant. I loved Matt Smith. I think the reason that I loved Matt Smith or that I loved Matt Smith as a doctor is because I think when we got to Matt Smith,
You were fully on...
I was on board.
Okay.
And... Yeah. And I loved the writing of the Matt Smith... But then, yeah, Peter Capaldi, and I mean, you know how I feel about Bill. I loved Bill. Just Peter Capaldi and, oh, what's her name? As the master. They're the best.
Oh, Michelle Gomez.
Yeah.
Missy. Cool.
Yeah, and okay. Also I like Jodie. I like them all for different reasons, I think, which is quite hard.
Right, okay. Another quiz for you. What can you tell me about the old... you don't have to give me facts about them, but who do you remember?
Ooh, well, I remember the episode with David Tennant where he met his wife. So I...
No. I mean...
I'm getting...
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Please.
Sorry.
So I know her dad. I know him. He...
I can't heard that.
He does all, like... He's getting some good mileage out of being the doctor. He does all the audio stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
From a wee cupboard in his house.
Yeah. He does, yeah.
And he had celery. A leek? Celery?
Celery? No, you're right.
And when he was in trouble, it turned a different colour. Was that right? Or like when he was something, it turned a different colour?
Christ, well done, yeah.
And I only know that because I saw... a TikTok about David answering a question on that recently.
I see. Okay, good. Okay, no, that's fine.
And Sylvester McCoy, like the crisps?
Like the crisps.
Yeah. He's quite small. He's quite short.
Yeah.
I know you love him.
Mm-hmm.
There's the old guy that died recently. He was a doctor.
Old guy that died recently?
Or he's dead.
There's a few dead ones. Nobody's died recently.
Okay,
the old guy doesn't cover it, but that's fine.
The one that kind of reminds me of my dad, with his big brown curly hair, and he ended up getting married to one of the companions.
Oh, Tom Baker.
Tom Baker, yeah, he really reminds me of my dad.
Okay.
He's got the same vibe.
Got a bit of the same energy, okay.
Yeah.
Is that you? Is that okay? Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. One of them was very old, and he didn't want to be the doctor. I think like the first
is that
one
you said. You said we were talking about this. You were like, I don't want to watch one of the scary doctors.
The scary, yeah. I think it's the first one. It was just really. He looks. He's just a bit terrifying. I think
that's because you don't have. He's. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Very grumpy. And we did watch one episode, or I think I walked in.
No, I was watching it and you were pottering.
Where they land on some sort of planet and he's just ordering what's-her-name about. And I'm like, fuck.
Okay.
Oh, and there is another... Sorry. There's... She's not a doctor, but she's a Time Lord and she was a companion and she also has two hearts.
Yeah.
Romana?
Well done.
Yes.
God, that was really patronizing. Well done.
Well done. Isn't that good, isn't it?
Okay, so this podcast, like I explained, the basis is that I find an episode for you.
Yeah.
Now, normally what I do is I ask people their top fives and then try and deduce...
Okay.
What a good episode is for them. But we live together. I know you very well. You know. But I'd like to ask you anyway. What's your top five films?
Top five films? I thought you were gonna ask me my top five episodes and I was really nervous.
What's the top five episodes of a show that you don't really watch?
Yeah. Five
just
films.
Just to give you a sense of you.
Empire Records.
Okay.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay, cool.
Mystic Pizza.
Okay.
How many is that? Three.
That's three.
Baby Boom. And
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice.
There we go. See, that as a list would be extremely difficult for me to deal with. Okay. Top five TV shows.
Oh, Frasier.
Uh huh.
Northern Exposure.
Okay, cool.
McLeod's Daughters. Bob's Burgers. Oh, The Mindy Project.
Okay. See, as a list there, that's two top fives that gives me absolutely nothing.
Incredible top fives, thank you very much.
Hey, look, I'm not criticizing your top five.
No. Well, not out loud, no.
We both agreed.
Mm-hmm.
That we have our own things.
Yeah.
And we, you know...
We just watch your things more
neither
than
neither of us have the fucking high ground.
No.
Here.
I think...
Let's be honest.
No, I completely agree. I think where I can poke holes in that is that we watch your high ground together and I watch mine alone.
No, come on.
Really, how many episodes of The Mindy Project have you watched with me?
I mean, I haven't sat... Oh, okay. No, but like...
How many of your TV shows am I now a huge fan of, like, Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
I probably should have put that in my TV shows, actually.
But, like... there's no way for me to come out of this. I was about to say, like, there are television shows in my repertoire mm-hmm. that I would never think to expose you to.
Like what?
Like Blake 7.
What's that?
Farscape. Like, I don't...
Farscape is in, like... Oh, no, wait, that's Farside Gallery.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Okay.
So, another question I like to ask, mm-hmm. or I have been asking when I do get someone new on. If you were the Doctor, what would your costume be?
Oh, my God. Richie.
I should have asked you this earlier. I'm sorry. Just like to put you on the spot.
Cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably red.
Okay.
I'd have a long kind of trench black leather jacket. Not like one of the rubbish mid-2000s ones that Chrissy X wore. Like
a trench leather jacket?
Yeah, I think that'd be quite
with
cool.
With red cowboy boots?
Yeah, I think it'd
okay,
be sick.
Okay, keep going.
And then, like, I'd probably wear... some sort of, like, black skirt, black tights, and then, like, a really fun, stripy jumper underneath. You fancy me in this already.
I was not going to say.
You're like, wow, that looks great. Yeah. I wouldn't wear a hat or anything on my head, but I would have a fringe. And I would have, like, a short bob. So my hair now. Mm-hmm. And I think my thing would be fun glasses.
Fun glasses. So you wear a different pair of glasses every episode?
Every episode. I would have a different pair of glasses.
Fun glasses. We haven't utilised... Well, have we utilised fun glasses? I mean, there's they have glass... Like, sometimes there's glasses, but they're not fun glasses. Like, wacky... Just stylish fun glasses, not wacky. You're not fucking Timmy
Either
Mallet.
Either or, I think...
See where the mood's taking you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then... Do I do my sonic screwdriver? Sonic screwdriver now, or is that a different question?
What, do you have an answer for sonic screwdriver?
I'd like it to be a Polly Pocket. That would be cool. That would be good. And
a
like
sonic
you
Polly
like,
Pocket.
Yeah, like maybe like one of the.
Now we're talking about the toy that opened like a Mighty Max for girls, not like a fucking plastic envelope for.
No. Yeah. Sorry. No, it is not a plastic envelope for keeping files clean and. Together. No, yeah, I'm talking about like the little toy Polly Pocket and maybe like the shell one, like the pink shell, and it would open up and like you'd have to move the little Pollies around. And that would be my sonic screwdriver, I think.
Yeah. I could see fandom reacting really well to.
Oh, I think anyone who's a fan of the show after like listening to this episode will hate me in all ways, so it's fine.
What's quite funny is I know you like a good romantic story. I know you like a bit of romance.
There's one episode that I wonder if you've... There's one episode would... Where he falls in love with the TARDIS, where she becomes a woman.
No. Nothing.
That's a great episode.
No, it has to be old Doctor Who, which is like the most asexual show since the fucking Sky at Night.
So I'm not getting an episode in the new Doctors?
No.
Old crusty Doctors?
What? Come on now.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an episode you've seen before, am I?
That's very true. Okay.
But one thing I know that you do enjoy is celebrity couples.
I do enjoy... Also, I sound like a real vapid loser.
No, you're not. No, you don't.
But I do enjoy celebrity couples, yes.
You do. You enjoy it. You think it's nice when you watch them on screen together. You're like, that's nice.
Oh, when we find out that they're a couple. I love that.
Yeah,
I think it's really nice. And I love it if they've met on the show. Yeah. I think that's better. Because also, a really good actor just gets really into their role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice that...
Do you think when couples fall in love on a show, they just get so into their...
In yeah. Okay. That's why they never really last. Mm. Brad and Angelina didn't last. Oh, they had kids, but didn't last. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams from The Notebook, the greatest love story of all time.
What about Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn?
Yeah, they lasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Some of them last. David Tennant and Georgia Moffat.
Well, they didn't fall in love on the show.
No, but that's how they met.
That is how they met.
Yeah.
But their characters didn't fall in love.
No, that would have been weird, given the story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I've chosen a story called City of Death,
ooh,
which is the second story in season 17. It's a Fourth Doctor story. So I chose well, because that was Tom Baker.
Okay, right.
And it was on, the air dates are 29th of September to the 20th of October, 1979.
The day before my birthday.
Holy shit.
I mean, I wasn't born in
1979. You weren't born in 1979, no. Yeah, City of Death. But the reason I've chosen it, I mean, apart from, I've chosen it because it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, I've chosen it because it's a very kind of light-hearted, fun story. And it kind of has... not echoes, that's not the word. What's the reverse of echoes of like the new stuff as well? Primarily, it has Tom Baker and Lila Ward who fell in love and got married.
Oh, lovely. Wait, is Ace in this one? Is she a
Ace
Tom Baker one?
Ace.
No? Okay.
Ace is much later. Literally 10 years later with Sylvester McCoy. So, yeah, what do you make of that?
I'm excited, I guess.
I guess. Fine. Oh, also.
Yes.
The episode was co-written by Douglas Adams.
Your pal, Doug. Yeah. Is it? He's a very familiar name in this house.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Very familiar, but he was a familiar name in your house growing up as well.
Was he?
Oh, Jesus. You wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, right.
why did you write his name if you didn't know that?
Because you have lots of books by Douglas Adams.
Oh, I see. There's lots of these names kicking about the house. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, right. Yeah, my dad. Yeah, I mean, very dad heavy.
I know.
Episode,
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
What's important here? We are going to watch it together, which I've never done with a guest.
I could
before.
Watch it in the bedroom.
No. It's fine. Okay. We'll just watch it.
A ruse for you to watch a Doctor Who episode tonight.
I mean, you know, I would just do that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
The only difference is you have to sit and watch it with me.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll watch it. We'll watch it together. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things are, you might want to, like, just think of questions. Think of things that you want to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what's in, you might want to write it down.
Okay.
But don't ask me anything while we're watching it. You've got to save it. Save it all up in your head.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay, let's go and watch some Doctor Who.
And eat some dinner. Okay, let's do it.
Marvellous. Absolutely.
Absolutely marvellous.
Well, I think it's marvellous.
So do I. That's not quite as you described it.
Really? How did I describe it?
You said it was nice.
It's the only place in the universe where one can relax entirely.
Mmm, that bouquet.
What Paris has, it has an ethos, a life. It has...
A bouquet?
A spirit, all of its own. Like a wine, it has...
A bouquet.
It has a bouquet. Yeah, like a good wine. You have to choose one of vintage years, of course.
What year is this?
Ah, well, yeah. Well, it's 1979, actually. More of a table wine, shall we say.
Okay, so that's us back. We just watched City of Death. What's really funny is I said to you before we started not to say anything, just to take notes.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the quietest the two of us have ever been watching anything. Anything. We just sat in silence.
I took a lot of notes. You also asked me not to ask you any questions. I know. So I didn't ask you anything.
I know. It was like, it all has to be saved up for this.
Uh-huh.
But also, when I looked over, I couldn't believe the extent. The episode hadn't even started. You were already writing notes.
Yeah.
And you have pages. How many pages have you got?
1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6 pages.
Wow. Okay.
I do also have novelty handwriting, so it's...
Oh, I know, it's quite...
It's like four words a line, so...
I'll just say first off that I'm a big fan of City of Death. I mean, I always say that, because I'm never going to show you one I don't like. But I think some of the things I like about City of Death, I think it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a good pace.
Mm-hmm.
I think it spreads itself out quite well. I feel like City of Death tonally could have been a film.
Okay.
And also, it's just some good, solid Tom Baker. I think he was very happy when he was working with Douglas Adams because he liked his scripts, and because he liked that he wrote funny dialogue and did cool, fun science stuff and all that. Anyway, I'm going to hand it over to you because... I think this whole podcast is just going to be reading through your notes, so I'm very interested to know that just off the bat, where did you start?
Okay, right. Straight off the bat, I've been tricked into watching 4 episodes, is what I will say. So all of you listening before, when Richie said, we're going to watch City of Death, you will have known there was 4 parts. So, tricked into watching 4 episodes. Raging from the start.
That's something I took for granted. I didn't realise they're raging. All 4 parts.
4 episodes.
They're all like... All those old... It's a serial. It's a serialised show. All the stories were like 4 parts. Sometimes 6.
Well,
10 parts.
Tricked. is what I've written here. Okay, tricked into what? How do you want me to? So I obviously did my notes by episode. Do you want me just to read
through
them? Yeah, by episode's
fine. Yeah, we've got talking points here. It's just very funny that I forgot to mention the length, the amount of time we'd spend doing this. And I think this is a recurring thing with this podcast. Owen and Sean and Gav are used to it, but now they know what to expect. Uh-huh. But everyone that comes on is like, oh, wait, how? I thought I was only going to watch it for half an hour. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Did you have no idea that it was going to be...
It felt very much like...
What were you expecting?
A Richie Doctor Who trick.
Oh, so I see.
It's fine.
What do you mean by a Richie Doctor Who trick?
You do this kind of stuff to me all the time, so it's fine.
What do you mean? Like what?
Well, you like trick me into watching things.
So your lovely story from earlier, that's out the window now. You're just like, he tricked me. Do you know what's funny? There was, when we first got together, it was a wee while after that you mentioned it, but I kept all of my interests, especially in Doctor Who.
Secret.
You didn't know any of that.
No, I think it was only when we like... Maybe when we moved in together. That it all kind of came out, because I think you had to unpack your shame physically.
Oh, yeah.
In belongings.
Yeah. What, and then you started to notice?
Yeah, and then I started to see it. No, but it's very nice. I enjoy the passion. Anyway, let me get back to my notes.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
I'm going to give you a little synopsis.
Okay.
I'm going to pick out some things that I've written down, and then we can get into the serious bits.
Okay.
Right. I've been tricked into watching 4 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Why do all the aliens have human hands and BBC accents? They say the word marvellous a lot in the first 10 minutes. Why? You can tell straight away that they're going to get divorced.
Honey,
he's annoyed by her.
No. We can go through the talking points about them. You want
to
do them all in big bunches and then
we talk
about them?
I would like to do big bunches so you can see where my brain was at in each episode.
Okay.
Why is she dressed like a schoolgirl? Is Tom Baker hot? No. Quite a lot of Del Trotter cars in Paris. They clearly had no permission for filming in Paris. Everyone's annoyed. Why is the science guy Russian/Italian and not French? Feels weird. What, that one guy, Hammond, looks a bit like Richie when he's older.
The butler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we just going to end episode one here? We're going to talk about all
of
these.
No, this is episode one. Is this the original Groundhog Day? That was the bit where they were doing the time flash bits.
But this is only up to that point,
okay. Is she from Gallifrey? Because I didn't know that it was Romana.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
I thought Romana was the other one. The one that's like a bit ethereal looking in different episodes.
Well, this is Romana 2.
Oh,
it's
right.
Post-regeneration Romana.
Oh, so she gets a wee regen. So how... Mm-hmm. Where is she now?
She'll be dead.
All right.
Presumably. She's not been back anyway.
Well, that's quite sad. His scarf is not practical. It's quite annoying, actually, and he's annoyed by it.
Do you want to know the lore behind the supposed story? I mean, it might be, but all these Doctor Who stories need to be taken with a pinch of salt.
Uh-huh.
But the story with the scarf apparently was that the costume person or somebody picked up a load of wool and dropped it off at like someone who makes scarves. I don't know. I can't give you the specific of the story.
Someone's nan.
And just said, can you make us like a nice patterned scarf that we can put on Doctor Who? And she used all of the wool, which is why the scarf is like 16 feet long. I think it is about 16 feet long.
A creative is only as good as its brief.
There you go.
Right, next. Very bad Mona Lisa replica. They are not at the Louvre. I've been there. They don't have school chairs at the Louvre.
The Louvre, right, okay. So there's been absolutely no research as to what...
No.
No.
I'm quite busy taking notes. I don't really know what's happening. Is this the only episode ever to not be shot in Wales?
No, that's only the new one. Okay.
Level 5 civilization. Tell me more about these levels and what they mean. That's an actual question. Tell me more about level
just
five.
We are level five. That's just a thing that's... I think it's one of those throwaway lines. But it does get referenced again in the new ones that we're level five.
Okay.
Civilization. But doesn't... I mean, you would assume that it's a reference to a point in our development.
Okay. Okay. The extras are very French. I wish...
Oh, you mean the two guys in the cafe?
In the cafe.
The one that's practically stopped short of having onions hanging around his...
Isn't that ridiculous?
They were both... Well, they're both very French as well, in the sense that they were just staring.
Yeah, yes. They were not pleased.
I know the French love a good stare.
Mm-hmm. I wish we still used cigarette holders. They're very refined.
Oh, yeah.
Blusher works very hard in the 70s.
I reckon cigarette holders could make... If cigarettes could make a comeback, then cigarette holders could come back.
Maybe they'll get, we'll get, hyper-extended vapes.
Jesus.
That look like cigarettes at the end.
Looks like a magic wand.
Yeah.
Are cigarette holders off-topic? Are they just to stop your fingers from smelling?
I guess so, yeah. Because you wouldn't have had, but you also
your cigarette just stays really miles away from your face, so you don't.
But you wouldn't have had filters back then as well, so it would have stopped your lips burning. It would have stopped your fingers burning.
Oh,
so because the cigarette holder used to there's a little short one, a little white one. Well, not white, but there's a little short one for men that you hold in your fingers and that. And then a long one for women.
I really considered how ridiculous cigarette holders were.
I know.
So we're just miles away from a woman's face. She's still breathing in the smoke, so she still reeks.
Yeah, but she's just not...
But her fingers don't smell of tobacco.
Yeah, and her lips aren't getting burned, and there's no filter. So
No, I know, but you said that the men had a small one.
Yeah, but it was still acted like a filter. So yeah, I don't...
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking you, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that, because obviously you don't know too much about... You know a bit, but you're not like... I've not got an expert in
cigarette paraphernalia. No.
Sorry.
Scarleone like Don Corleone?
I think it's pre... Well, it'll be pre-Godfather of the film anyway.
The bracelet keeps changing. At first it was a full circle, then it changed to a half circle, then it changed back to a full circle.
I thought that.
That was annoying.
But no, it can be, because they wouldn't have made two props.
Maybe it broke, because first it was a full circle, then it became a cuff, and then it went back to a full circle.
Oh, yeah.
I've written here again, no, Tom Baker's not hot.
He's got a very kind of 70s uncle vibe.
Yeah. Herman and the Countess are definitely having some sort of affair. Oh, and then I wrote, oh my god, Carlos is an alien.
Okay, so that's...
So that's episode one.
That's episode one.
Yeah. Good thoughts, actually.
There's a lot of points there that I've forgotten them all, actually. Do you want to pick up on some few and then we can go...
Yeah, should we pick up on how hard blusher works in the 70s? No? It's really carrying the whole show. I mean, none of them are really serious points, though, are they, Richie?
No, they're just worth talking about.
The one thing that I always say whenever we watch a Doctor Who is, why don't they invest in alien hands? It really bothers me. It's the same in Star Trek. Not that we're talking about Star Trek, but
no,
nobody can be bothered to think of a different hand.
I mean, sometimes they do. Maybe they'll stick a bit of hair on the back of the hand, or they'll paint the back of the hand.
Yeah, but they still have fingers.
They have to use their hands. You've got to be practical as well. They can't be leaving paint everywhere that they...
That is true. But I mean, generally, overall, just to jump back and forth, overall, didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, I was quite bored.
Oh.
Felt a bit like the Thomas Crown Affair. But just with an alien and Doctor Who.
You just didn't enjoy it. Was there nothing about it you enjoyed?
No. I mean, I didn't hate it, but...
It just wasn't for you.
It just didn't feel exciting. It was too long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair... I think one of the problems with classic Doctor Who, especially the way that we all watch it now, and I've said this before many, many times, it shouldn't really be watched like a film.
Mm.
And
so you have a week to forget.
Yeah, it's more just pace yourself. And it's I mean, I know obviously we can sit and watch multiple episodes of a TV show now and it's not mm-hmm. a problem.
Yeah.
But like this, we're talking about 1970s like BBC programming, and it's like, you know, it was not only was it not considered you would watch it again, like watch them all in a row, you probably would never watch it again in your life.
That is very true. Yeah. And I guess there was a lot of thrills, like, well, I guess we haven't met Duggan yet, but there was a lot of like running through traffic. We're in Paris.
Well, you know, the one thing I'll give you actually, one thing I'll give you about, like, I love this episode. I love it. But one thing I hate about when Doctor Who goes on location, old Doctor Who goes on location, and I know that this script was written in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. How do you know this?
Just, I know it from the history of the show. Just
the inside scoop.
The inside scoop, yeah, from the behind the scenes stuff. Basically, it was written by one writer.
Uh-huh.
And then they had to do a rewrite, and Douglas Adams is the script editor, and him and the producer, Graham Williams, like, rattled
out. Is that the guy
out,
that we watched the
documentary about? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They rattled out, like, a new version so that they could film it in Paris, basically. And I get the impression that the script was maybe a little bit thin in places, because you're right, there's a lot of bits where we're just like, we're in Paris, let's do some... Was yeah. to have some long shots of them, like every time they move from one location to another, I really felt like we're watching the entire move. Journey.
Yeah. Do you think that they were at it as well when they were in Paris?
What, Tom and Lala?
Yeah.
Probably.
Why is she dressed like a schoolgirl?
Well, actually, there's a story behind this as well, because apparently that was like a she wasn't happy with the costume that. There was a falling out with the costume designer, apparently, that she was going to have like some sort of silver catsuit thing.
Oh.
And so they wanted her to have something that was a wee bit more in character, felt a bit more like it worked well in Paris, but didn't expect to get all like weird fan mail from dads being like the schoolgirl angle. I don't think it was never meant to be.
So does in other episodes, is she not in the same outfit?
No.
Oh,
no, no, no,
okay. So she's dressed a bit like Madeline.
Madeline.
The cartoon.
That cartoon you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I was talking about earlier today. The little hat.
Yes. Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I think probably my favourite part of the whole first episode is how annoyed everyone in Paris is at their existence.
They are.
It's funny.
You don't even want to call them extras, just people that appear
just
when
people,
they're.
Just people, yeah.
Like, because there's just things like the shot of them crossing the road and all that sort of stuff.
So
it's just
far
like,
away.
That's real.
Yeah.
All the Paris stuff is real. But like one of the things that apparently when they were filming it, like nobody in France knew who they were. Like, they couldn't do that sort of stuff in the UK without getting hounded. But.
Also, you can't get permits in France very easily for anything. So
I know.
There's no way.
So
the
they
BBC
must have just went
going,
and fucking.
Yeah, well, that's why they're all so far away. Like, they're all like through trees,
yeah.
or like through that weird postcard stand, or like really far away outside the Louvre.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Actually, I totally forgot like how bureaucratic France is. There's no way that they. Okay, so you've been... I've never been to Paris. You've been to Paris?
Yeah, I've been to Paris many times. One of my favourite cities in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. One of my favourite places in the world is the Museum of Rodin, like the sculptor. It is incredible. It's in his house in Paris. Beautiful gardens and just some of the most incredible, beautiful sculptures ever that we know.
Okay. That we know?
Like, that we know... You know, like in our brains.
The most incredible sculptures that we know of. There might be loads of secret sculptures out there that we've never.
Yeah, that. Well, I don't know. Like, so people just haven't dug up yet.
Sorry, I've just
you
been
know,
a dick.
They're still excavating Pompeii, Richie. I've told you about this. Who knows what they might find? What
some
crude
nice sculpture.
Wee pots of willies and boobs they might find in Pompeii.
What, like, you know, you're obviously, you're well-versed in new Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the sort of the Doctor-companion kind of relationship, did you feel like you were watching the same show?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the relationship, and obviously I've seen, well, probably like maybe one or two Actually, I don't think I've ever really watched like an old Doctor Who.
You're not watching all the way through,
a full episode, no. I think the relationship between the Doctor and his companions that I've noticed in the old episodes and in this episode too is that of like a parent and child. It's very condescending.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's not warm, because it is warm. Mm-hmm. There's like a friendship there and like a love, but it is quite condescending.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would use the word condescending, because it's a bit negative.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say anything negative.
No, no, that's not what I mean. Who. No, I'm just saying that's not what I would say. Yeah. I just mean like, you're right, it's a very kind of, like, the character Romana's like a lot younger than he is.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, but it is funny that Romana's meant to be kind of almost closer to being his equal than, say, the other ones are in terms of intellect. What I quite like about Romana is that they still have the kind of naive character who you can do all the exposition through. But she's coming at it from a different angle. She's alien, but she's inexperienced.
Yeah.
But she's intelligent, but she doesn't have the worldly experience, so he can still do the all the...
Why doesn't she have that worldly experience? Where does she come from?
She's from Gallifrey.
I know, but why is she there? Why is she his companion?
So she was... Oh, how do I explain this? There was a whole season about them trying to find this key to time thing, and that's how she ended up there.
Is she a key? Like
no,
Buffy?
She's not. No, she's not a key. Right. No, nothing like that.
Like Buffy's.
It's the same. We didn't do anything like that back in the 70s. It was just like, no, she's just there. Yeah, she's just younger.
Okay.
And also, I mean, the whole thing about the Doctor is that he's kind of unusual for his people in the sense that they're all kind of, they all stay where they are and stick to their own and all that sort of stuff, where he's out there kind of causing havoc and seeing everything.
Saving lives. And one thing I will say is that, love the intro. Feel like it's maybe my favourite Doctor Who intro.
Oh, really? The title sequence?
Yeah. I really like it.
Why do you like it? Just because it's...
It feels, you know, like that... Do you remember that song, Liquid Dreams by O-Town?
No.
I like that kind of like metallic, liquid, Alex Mack, the TV show kind of vibe at the beginning. Where you're going through the tunnel.
The visuals.
Like,
oh, yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
Fun.
Okay, that's nice.
Some great references in there. O-Town.
O-Town, Alex Mack. We've definitely got a certain audience on side. I don't know if it's
Ooh, something I noticed that we're moving on to episode two now. Do you want me to go through my
episode two? So Julian Glover's turned out to be
Who's Julian Glover?
He's the actor.
Oh, right.
So Julian Glover, actually, he's in... You'll know him because we've recently watched Game of Thrones. He was the old... Remember the old Grand Maester fella who was like sort of a big beard and an old man?
Oh,
and he was kind
God.
Of on the King's Council.
Yeah. Is that him?
And he was kind of an old creep.
Yeah, he was horrid.
Yeah, but he survived like all the way through. Yeah, that was him. He's also in Last Crusade, Indiana Jones Last Crusade. He's the guy who drinks the goblet and gets all...
I thought I recognised him, but I didn't know why I recognised him.
Yeah, that's him.
Wow.
Anyway, so he's an alien. He's an alien.
Alien.
You'll see him, you go, that's an alien.
Well, I did write down, Carlos is an alien.
Yeah.
So, correct. Okay, episode two. I like the intro, maybe my best one.
Okay.
This is an interesting tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know the doors that they keep focusing in on with the screaming face?
Oh, yeah.
They're in the Da Vinci Code.
Really?
When they're in Paris, yeah.
God, this is good. This is good shit.
This is good, isn't it?
wait, what are they in the Da Vinci Code?
They're just in the Da Vinci Code. Yeah. They're just famous doors in Paris.
Oh, because you know what's really funny about those doors is like there's something... And I maybe only know this from just like my life of just wandering about places trying to get shots of things. Mm-hmm. But like clearly, I don't know if I can imagine a camera crew wandering about going, that door there, well, we just pretend that's the baddie's house. Because they never open it. I don't think they open it.
They do go through it once.
Oh, they do, right, sorry. They maybe knocked, maybe chapped in the door and went, Can we get a shot?
That doesn't sound hilarious.
It's obviously, like, obviously it's a BBC programme and I'm sure there's layers and layers of people doing lots and lots of jobs, but in my head it's just a small group of people walking about going, do you mind if we film outside your house?
Do you mind if we just...
do you mind?
Get...
Can we just...
Shh. It's just... It'll be 2 minutes.
And the person in the house is like, what's this for?
Where? Bonjour, where?
You're not getting away with filming their front door without fucking spending an hour in a house drinking 3 glasses of wine and looking at pictures of their family.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be absolutely great. And the same doors as the Da Vinci Code, and then I wrote in brackets with Tom Hanks in case there was another one.
Da Vinci Code, Leonardo da Vinci, it's all coming together,
isn't it? And then I wrote, oh, she's Ramona.
Romana.
And then the next one is, does Tom Baker have a drinking problem? Why is there only water on set? They're in France and everyone's drinking water.
The water thing was weird.
It was weird.
Because initially
they make
I was
a thing
like,
out of it they as must, well.
Maybe somebody went at some point, it's a kid's show, we can't have them drinking wine. But then the like, next scene, someone's smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the house, he's like, I'll pour myself a drink.
Yeah,
but why?
But then he doesn't pour himself a drink.
But then they drink wine later on. So I don't know why they're all drinking glasses of water. Maybe it's just one of the... I think there's a lot of like kookiness in this episode, a very kooky story, and maybe that's one of those things that probably seemed kooky in the writing process. I don't know. But and to answer your first question, he probably does. I think he probably did have a drinking problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody
allegedly,
did back then.
In case anyone's listening. Allegedly. I think the Count and Countess are cash poor. There's no lamps, only big lights. So they've not got enough money for bulbs.
No lamps, just studio lighting.
Yeah, just studio lighting, but hundreds of lamps, just no bulbs. So there's no lamps turned on. So
wow.
That'll tell you something. I don't know what, but it'll tell you something. Duggan is... the true hero. You can just tell it's his first scene. So he's... I already
well,
knew...
No, he's in episode one.
Is he? Oh, he's chasing them. Yeah.
Yeah, but he has the gun in his back and...
Well, he is. I mean, you can tell.
But Duggan... It's very... Duggan is such a great character.
He's a great character.
And it's kind of... I think it's funny because I feel like Duggan's quite... I'm amazed he's not had... Actually, I don't know this for sure. He probably has had like several Big Finish fucking box sets at this point. Duggan's one of those characters you just remember. He's had one story and he endures because he's just... But it's funny. I think what's funny is like Duggan's obviously... They've obviously been like, we need some action. We need someone who hits folk. I don't know.
But he also needs to be very polite, British, BBC.
But it's very funny because the way that everyone reacts to him, like he's over the top.
Yeah.
His action thing is over the top and he's kind of, but also he's constantly in the state of like, what is going on?
He's very stressed.
He's very stressed. He's very stressed. But he's such a brilliant character. And again, like I keep coming back to this, but this episode to me is genuine, like properly funny. It's like, it's... borders on being like a good comedy for me. Maybe not you.
No,
for me,
I
there's a
like,
lot. There's just a lot of like the script is so full of like just big laughs.
I did laugh at the end where, or not at the end, but I think it's like episode 3, maybe 4, where they're in the lab and he sees him as whatever the Jareth or whatever.
The Jagger. The Jareth. He sees him as the old Jared.
And then he goes, ooh, very pretty. That was good. I did laugh at that. So getting back to my notes, this is serious.
Okay, sorry.
Should we buy an old chateau in France and do it up? genuine question.
If somebody wants to fund that, I'm up for it.
Where is
I'll
the
make
TARDIS?
A video about it.
Oh yeah, you can make a video about it. Where is the TARDIS? Because we hadn't seen it yet. So this is real time questions.
Oh.
Because we hadn't seen it. So I didn't know where it was.
I mean, again, that's the funny thing about old Doctor Who is sometimes you just never saw the TARDIS or they would come out of it. And
then I've written an observation under that. The TARDIS doesn't feel like a character or it doesn't feel alive. not like the new Doctor where the TARDIS is alive and feels like a character.
I would
feels
say...
more like a vessel.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what it was, though.
You don't think it's alive? She literally comes alive, Richie, and they fall in love in an episode. And it's what's her name that you love?
Who?
Is it not Keely Hawes?
No, it's not Keely Hawes.
That other one who's kind of like Keely Hawes.
No, I can't remember the name of the woman who plays the TARDIS, but she, when that episode was on, the words Helena Bonham Carter was trending on Twitter.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
They were? I remember it.
No. I tell you what, she definitely has lots of lamps. She's not a big light person.
What?
Helena.
Helena?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about the TARDIS.
Okay.
A second. It's interesting that you've got a very new show view of the TARDIS. But I guess he was always talking to it. So that's where that comes from. But no, like, yeah, the TARDIS... It's funny that the TARDIS gets used, but you don't really get to see it. And also, K-9 was in the show at this point, but he's not in this episode because budgetary reasons. Because couldn't take him to Paris, but also, but he has that line when he goes into the TARDIS, he's like, "Hello, K-9."
Isn't it fun to think that at this point in time they would have flown to Paris, probably on like a very old 70s Air France plane that was quite small, and everyone would have been smoking. There would have been like no seatbelts. It would have just been like. Just having a good time. They all would have been reading the paper, listening to French music and smoking cigarettes.
Everyone's having a good time except anyone that doesn't smoke. Or
yeah,
a child.
Everyone smoked.
Every child in the fucking planes. Like,
I don't think kids could go on planes back then.
What? How did kids get anywhere?
I'm sorry. I don't think parents really cared about children in the 70s.
Parents didn't care about children before the 1990s.
No.
Explain to them. Certainly not taking them on a holiday. I like to think that maybe they got one of those big giant hovercraft. You get the giant. There's just a video online of like a giant hovercraft that took fucking. It was like a ferry.
Yeah, I know.
Takes cars and stuff. It must have been. Oh, it must have been incredible. But also, like, I love hovercraft. But like. When I speak to people about anyone that ever rode in a hovercraft, they're like, it was the loudest vehicle in the world.
And it also took a really long time. That's why they stopped it.
They didn't take long, did they?
Yeah, they took a long time.
They flew across the water.
No, they took a really long time. Longer than a ferry.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I think we watched the same documentary.
No, how could they? I'm going to have to take your word for it.
I mean, don't. We can look it up after.
Okay.
And then you can do like a little insert.
Maybe the giant ones took ages. Because I mean, if a giant ferry, a giant hovercraft, being propelled, but we've gone way off topic.
Yeah, let's get back to this. Anyway, I don't think that the correct address to a count is Excellency. Just, I'm putting it out there. I don't think that's correct. I don't think that the researchers have done a good job here.
I think it's very. I mean, it's. Perfect Doctor Who villain.
Yeah, I mean, it's
addressing,
good.
What would you call a word that you use to address someone? A title.
An address. A title.
Excellency. Yeah, Excellency is very. He's a good. I thought he was a good villain. I love when he turned up in his kimono.
That was good.
Like, I wonder what he'd been doing when he changed.
Having a smoke.
And of course, it was post. He'd pulled his face off, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's put it back on. He's pulled his face off to have a shower, put it back on, bunged the kimono on, and then headed down to him.
And then gone down. I have also written, this guy loves green. He loved the colour green.
Is there a lot of green?
Well, he was a green alien.
I know it well.
And then he wore a green ring, and then he had a green shirt, and he had a green napkin.
Yeah.
And then when he was in Leonardo da Vinci's time, he had like a green leather.
He had
like
green armor, yeah.
Yeah. So it was quite obvious to spot, actually, if anybody was paying attention. And then I wrote, oh, no, he's Russian, not Italian. I mean, that's about the scientist. Because he kind of slipped in between Russian and Italian.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out. Yeah, he had a bit of a Manuel vibe, I thought.
He did, yeah, he did.
Very Manuel vibe.
And then I've written in big letters here, literally the Thomas Crown Affair. I don't know what. I think I was so engrossed in taking notes.
Oh, because they were trying to figure out how to steal the... I've never seen the Thomas Crown Affair. Is that the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh, I think there's two...
No, that's Entrapment. Who's in Thomas Crown Affair? That's Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan and... I want to say Julia Roberts, but I don't think that's true.
No.
But I don't. That's not the original one. There is an original.
I know it's a remake, yeah. But I know when you say Thomas Crown Affair, we're both thinking of the same...
Oh, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duggan is very strong, and he has the one lamp in the entire show. He's carrying one tiny little camping lamp.
Oh, the one lamp that gets switched on, you mean?
Yeah.
The only reason you were brought here was to explain exactly why you stole my bracelet.
Ah, well, that's my job. You see, I'm a thief. This is Romana, she's my accomplice. And this is Duggan. He's a detective who's been kind enough to catch me. That's his job, you see. Our two lines of work dovetail beautifully.
Very interesting.
Yes.
I was rather under the impression that Mr. Duggan was following me.
Ah, well, you're a beautiful woman, probably. And Duggan was trying to summon up the courage to ask you out to dinner, weren't you, Duggan?
Who sent you?
Who sent me what?
Doctor, the more you try to convince me that you're a fool, the more I'm likely to think otherwise. Now, it would only be the work of a moment to have you killed.
We're on episode 3 now.
I know, it's just you're fair rattling through it. I just need you to
Sorry, my love.
You know, it's nice to have talking points, but, you know.
Well, you're not asking me anything, so maybe you could ask
me. Well, I want to ask you questions based on your talking points. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so episode 2. Went to the end of episode 2.
Episode 2, yep. I quite liked episode 2.
Trying to remember the cliffhangers.
He gets knocked over. We see the Mona Lisa's, and he's on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. He goes back to time to see Leonardo da Vinci. He's not there. And then we find the Count.
Yes.
Is also there. That's good. Do what's good about that moment as well is like, you're like, oh, that'll be a. He's probably just been living all this time, and it's like he knows who he is.
Yeah.
How does that work?
That was cool. Like the kind of splintered through time thing is cool.
Yeah, but just him being like recognizing the Doctor in the past and being like, what? That's the sort of thing that they would do in modern Doctor Who, and then it turns out that then the explanation for it in the next episode would be absolute shite.
Mental. Like complete like nonsense.
Yeah.
I've written at the top, one of these episodes should have at least one of these episodes should have been called Mona Lisa. I don't really understand City of Death as a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think City of Death is a very last minute title.
Okay, well, it feels very rushed, doesn't it?
It's a very Doctor Who title, though.
Very rushed. How does he. Okay, right. I'm so sorry, these notes are terrible. I'm like, how does he travel through time? Is it through his dreams? Oh, wait. Splinters of his body trapped in time. This is very sad. This man is stuck. I hope the Doctor helps him. Help him, Doctor. And then I wrote the Borgias. That's mad.
Who were the Borgias?
They were like a really famous Italian like.
This is why it's good to make someone watch Doctor, like make people watch Doctor Who, watch who engage in proper media instead of someone who just constantly watches Doctor Who.
The Borgias are like a really famous Italian family in medieval times. So yeah, they would have been around during Leonardo da Vinci. I don't know that this is a fact or not, but I'm pretty sure they're like the first mafia family.
Right. I was going to say they kind of like the mafia.
But they're like royalty. Like they are like... They're like a really famous family, basically.
But they were bad bastards.
Big bad bastards. There's a TV show. I think Sky did a TV show.
Oh, is it... Is it like fucking... Is it like post Game of Thrones? Everyone's shagging.
Yeah, and like brutal.
HBO bollocks.
Yeah. I wrote, if Richie asked me what my favorite TV shows are again, The Sopranos. Don't forget.
Oh,
so.
course, of course.
Tom Baker is not an action hero. This much is clear.
The punch.
He's not an action hero. The punch, he didn't even hit him.
I know. It's very BBC kind of like, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Every time Doctor Who tries to do violence, it's really awkward.
Very, very awkward.
But, like, I think what the other thing that makes it awkward as well, though, is that they don't, like, nothing gets dubbed in. There's no live sound effects.
Yeah.
So it's just a silent...
a silent punt.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That was a funny one. Because when he distracts him with the camera, he pulls out the camera and takes the Polaroid of him, which is a very funny gag.
It is good,
because
yeah.
when he pulls out the photo, it's great. But I was, like... Leading up to it, I was like, oh, he does the flash and he must, like, while he's rubbing his eyes, he runs away, but that's not how that happens.
No,
he waits to distract with the photo, then he punches him in the face.
Very weird. Do you know what I would have liked to have seen more of? Like, what I thought was really interesting, and it kind of, I don't know if it piqued my interest because this is just the kind of stuff that I like, but... And I wrote a note here and I was like, oh, so this guy is essentially God, Allah, pharaohs, kings. Like, he is like the creator of lots of things across time. And that would have been a really cool thing to explore more rather than just seeing a very crude
montage of him in different costumes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I never thought about that, because he did create life on the planet.
Yeah.
And then he seeded himself in all these different cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That
this is not even just with Doctor Who, just in science fiction television in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're right. These ideas get touched on so often and then they get lost in the delivery. Like, you've seen it happen in Star Trek a million times as well. But that's, I'd never even considered that before, but that's a great observation, but it's a great, like, you're right, it probably was an idea that just
it feels like a real missed opportunity. Like, if you'd got to that point at the end of episode one, you could have had like three really great episodes throughout time.
Yeah, but then,
I mean, it would have been very not It's aligned like, to the BBC budget.
I know. It's mad to me that they even go back to the Da Vinci and have a whole Da Vinci set that only gets used for a bit. But no, you're right. I mean, the funny thing is it was written by the script editor and the producer. And you can tell even like during the writing process, any producer would be like, nope.
Nah, we're not doing
that.
Yeah.
No more sets. Can we do this in one set, please?
Can we get somebody in the art studio to just make fake papyrus and draw a wee alien head on some papyrus. Get some of those tea bags on, get tea stained, get that done.
Oh, the old tea aging stain,
and then
bag.
Like the burn.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great. That.
So that would have been really cool. And then also it would have been, and again, this probably isn't very 70s BBC, but it would have been really cool to see him throughout time in like different races. Not just being like the same white guy.
Yeah.
Even though he is splintered in time, it would have made more sense that he was splintered in
different cultures,
versions
and
cultures. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's. I mean, again. Yeah, it's just old telly, and it's not good. But like, you're right. If it was now, they might have done something like that. Hopefully, by using different actors.
Yeah. not just blackface.
Not just me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think if it was like a film or a modern episode or something, you're right, I think it would have shown him running in different...
Yeah.
But then sometimes as well, like one of the things that I like about old Doctor Who as well, and its limitations, is it does have to strip it down into a very, like, it's a story about these characters at this time.
Yeah, there's nothing else to it.
And it's funny, it's that, like... He gets a lot in old sci-fi as well. So you know, in Star Trek, it's like something big is happening off screen and it's just characters going, that's happening now. I mean, there's not really a lot of that in this, but
Like, they clearly couldn't stretch to have a Leonardo da Vinci
No, extra. The cast.
Let's get some old man with some paint. Oh, also, does he wear different badges for different episodes? Because I like that his badge was
He wears it different seasons.
He had like a palette with some paint tubes.
I don't know if he wears it for different episodes. Holes in my knowledge.
I know, how embarrassing for you.
But no, he doesn't wear that all the time, I know that, okay. So... But it would be good if that was for that just that story, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I liked episode 3, it was good. I feel like they dumped a lot of truth out in episode 3, we kind of...
As you're starting to move, it's like... Okay,
it all kind of came out.
Yeah, we need to start explaining why everything's happening. Yeah. And
I mean, it definitely, this all could have been one episode, or two episodes max.
Not a 25-minute episode, surely. Funnily enough, actually, I think it was for the commentary for one of the new episodes, but Stephen Moffat was talking about how, like, in modern Doctor Who, they have the sting at the start, and then it's the intro sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, we have a wee scene at the start, and then, boom, intro sequence, off we go. And he said, essentially, that sting... is what used to be episode 1. So it's like we have to do episode 1 in like a minute, and then it's...
okay, that makes sense.
Which is kind of an interesting take on it, but I think he's right. It's like... Yeah, no, it's like... The thing about old Doctor Who, is especially those four-part episodes, is like, sometimes... I mean, the format of the show was the format of the show, and it's not like a film where everything gets to be... whatever length it needs to be, it's like it always has to be this length and it has to be this many episodes. And also the writers are like hammering out these episodes as well.
Yeah. Interrupt your thought with my own more important thought. Where did Duggan come from? Who was he? Is he like a private investigator? Like what, like...
Duggan, where does the character Duggan come from? You mean in the story?
In the story, yeah.
So I think he was watching out for a possible robbery of the Mona Lisa.
Oh, right, okay. And then it would have been embroiled, fun to have more Duggan.
Because obviously, we had quite a lot of Duggan.
I know, but more of his story, like, maybe like a bit where... Duggan goes back to his hotel room in Paris and he's just, you know, he's having a wee shower, he's washing off the heavy lift of the day, he's having a glass of wine. If we could just inject more of like the slow movement of the bear into old Doctor Who, where there's like a little episode about Duggan, that would be fun.
Right.
If you're going to do 4 episodes, you might as well.
I can absolutely guarantee you that there's a Duggan spin-off somewhere in the world. It's either audio or it's a comic. Like, there is not a corner of Doctor Who that hasn't been mined for... Oh,
that's good. If anybody listening knows of the Duggan spin-off, please share it with Richie.
But not you.
Not me. Well...
You want me to do you want me to listen or read it and then give you the highlights? Tell you what happened to Duggan, but you don't want to...
Nah, I don't want to do it. I wrote one note here that says, poor professor.
I know.
That was sad. He didn't need
to
die.
He was going to, like, just from the outset, it's like, this guy's going to
die. Do you know what would have been a better death? Or, like, a better thing? It was, like, if someone had just bricked him back up into where the Mona Lisas were.
No. What do you mean? What, like bricked him up and just left him to die?
Yeah.
Because then someone would be able to break him out.
Yeah.
No, it has to be the machine. Like you see the machine, and if you're a child watching it, you're like, I want to see a person. They did that with a chicken. We saw a chicken. We saw what it did to a chicken. I want to see what it does to a human man.
Also, at one point of the chicken sequence, I'm sure, I am positive, that one of the skeletons was a swan.
It did have a very long neck.
Very, very long neck. I'm like, are their spines that long? I don't know.
I don't think so. In the same way that that wasn't the Louvre, it probably wasn't a real
definitely
skeleton.
It wasn't the Louvre, was it? But yeah, I mean, episode 3 was maybe the best. It was not the best one. I kind of started to get bored by the end of episode 3, where I was like, okay, this could wrap up now.
Yeah.
Like, we know what's going to happen. Speaking of episode 4, why did the Countess need to die? You know, like, why kill her?
Well, she was always going to die.
Why? That's awful. She could have just lived in that life with all of the wealth.
He was going to kill everyone.
Yeah, so why?
She was just there as a useful person in his life. It reinforces how awful a person he was. And it reinforces that he had no feelings for her whatsoever. And that he was using her.
But,
and what better way to display that than fucking just offering
her? But he did have some sort of feeling, because he wouldn't have killed her if he didn't feel something for her, because indifference means that he feels nothing. And the indifference would have been, well, everyone's going to die. She's nothing. She doesn't mean anything to me.
She was pointing a gun at him.
Yeah, well, we both know she was in love with him. She wasn't going to fire that gun.
He doesn't know that.
Yeah, he does.
If he doesn't love her, then
he knows she's not going to fire that gun. Also, can you believe leaving out that original Hamlet?
Also, I know.
Put it back on the shelf. Are you mad?
But also, you just need a good death, don't you?
Yeah, but it wasn't a good death. It felt frivolous and it felt cheap. Because
what would a satisfying death be?
Well, we got a satisfying death from the professor. That was gory.
Just
that was
watching him
contorted and was a bit mad.
He really went for it, didn't he?
Yeah, she was just like, are you an alien? And he's like, yeah, you're fucking dead.
But also,
I'm sorry, do you swear on this podcast?
Yeah, it's fine. But also, the, like, death by the bracelet. I'm coming in with the defences here. Death by the bracelet is also shows you that he had he was ready to do it at any point.
Yeah, it was premeditated, wasn't it? I just don't think that her death was interesting. I don't think it added anything to it. I think it would have been more interesting had he disappeared and then, like, he disappears back in time to his spaceship thing, and then she goes to the wall and starts looking through all the stuff, and she discovers all that stuff about him,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't get a chance to confront him. That's more interesting. It's more painful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you added more of an emotional element to it, I guess. Like, if it was a wee bit deeper than it was.
Yeah.
Then maybe, yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
No matter what I say, you're just going to be like...
Yeah, well, but no.
Yeah, but you know what? It's great, so...
actually, you want to leave your criticisms at the door, actually.
Do you know what? It's of its time, and actually, you don't understand, so... That's the vibe I'm getting from you.
Listen, I don't expect you to understand, but, you know, it's how they did things back then, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's very nice.
I'm not doing that. I don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be him, but you are.
Oh, no.
Right, episode 4.
My true face was shown to the world when I invited my girlfriend onto my Doctor Who podcast. You're wrong! You're wrong! Stop it! And you're like, this is how he is every night.
I know, this is it. This is the real Richard Morgan that nobody gets to see apart from me. The tantrums, the stubbornness.
Every time I suggested that maybe a 40-year-old episode of Doctor Who could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, or that it might have been a touch sexist. That's it. Dead in the water.
No!
Right, let's do my notes for episode 4, and then we'll talk about it as a whole.
Okay.
Okay. Like, just as a four-part episode.
That's sure, yep.
I like that. This is good. I like that Romana's big scientific break in all 4 episodes.
I know exactly what you're about to say.
Is her unscrewing a plug? What?
I know. It cuts to her, like, she's decided to help with this very complicated piece of science equipment, and it cuts to her, and she's
literally unscrewing a plug.
Literal plug. She's in France as well.
I know, it's not even a European plug.
It's a fucking It's a three-pin UK plug.
It's a UK plug. Oh, God. And then all of my notes, I just...
Maybe the UK plugs seem really complicated in France.
I mean, Richie...
Three pins?
Richie, we know that they're not in France.
I know.
We know that they were in Paris for maybe a day, shooting on one street.
Yeah.
Running around. Probably running from the police, going, you can't film here.
You can't film... The gendarme.
The gendarme
are after them.
Generally quite boring. Could have been two episodes. And then I wrote in all caps, John Cleese.
Quite boring.
Quite boring.
This is because it's the first 90 minutes of television you've watched that you've not been able to look at your phone.
Scaroth is unhinged. Are we all actually made from sludge?
Yeah, it's the primordial soup.
That's Matt.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's the BBC's charters of what is it? Inform, entertain, and educate.
All right.
So you're getting all three of those in there. You find out where life comes from.
Yeah.
You had some funny japes. Some
action. There was some japes. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then the last note that I have is very topical AI art.
They do. You're right, actually. It's funny, actually, that they're basically talking about AI art.
Yeah.
That hit me that time as well. I was like, oh.
Oh.
I'm amazed that's not been doing the rounds on fucking whatever. Doctor Who predicted AI art.
I mean, where is that doing the rounds?
I'm saying it isn't. That's the sort of thing you would see. I mean, to be fair, it does come from a time when computers are like starting to do everything.
Mad stuff, yeah.
So there probably would have been like an idea of, like, I mean...
Well, the plagiarism of art has been around since the beginning of art.
But like the idea that of like asking computers to create your art for you.
Yeah.
But also I would say as well, like one of the things about... To bring it back to the Douglas Adams thing, but Douglas Adams is like... was definitely, what's the word? You could see the potential in technology.
Yeah.
In terms of like seeing what we'll probably end up using it for, mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. It's like, I think, so that could have been one of his lines. We don't know, but I think that's interesting actually, because when you pair it with that stuff, like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I've said this about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy before. But I think it's becoming harder. It'll probably get harder and harder to make an adaptation, a modern adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because the technology in it, the whole thing is kind of based around, is stuff that we now use.
Oh, like what?
So, like the whole idea of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is essentially an iPad.
Oh.
So it was like a book. It was like an electronic book, and it had all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guidebook, basically, but it was like your guide to the universe.
Yeah.
So whatever, you could just look it up, there'd be an entry, and it would... But it was like an electronic book, and it's like, we have that now.
Yeah.
We all have that now.
Yeah, so
and it's kind
nothing.
Of funny, like, if you stuck that in a TV show now, everyone would be like, that's not a novel idea.
Yeah, like, that's not magical enough for, like...
It's not sci-fi idea anymore.
It's not so far removed from our reality.
So it's funny to look at the AI art thing because it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's another thing you probably thought that people would, if they can make computers make art, then they probably will.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a really clever observation from someone, whoever's written it, because like I said before, the plagiarism of art has been around since the beginning of like the selling of art.
Yeah.
So like from patrons and, you know, great artists, there's always been plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always been replication.
Yeah.
And that was like such a huge, you know, that was how rich people got rich, or how people made money, or like a lot of money was by selling art. So it makes sense that that would be something that you would use technology to replicate.
Yeah, there's probably a good essay or a study conversation in there about City of Death and how like the whole thing is about, obviously it's about art plagiarism, but it's not art. Is it plagiarism because it's drawn by the artist? He's just drawn the same thing six times, but well, the copies are not special because they're not. It's like it's like a question of like what creates value in art and what makes art art, and
yeah, like the person and the reputation, because a lot of art, like Monet, you know, like, I mean, just naming impressionists, but a lot of the famous artists that we know now, they didn't paint all of their work. It was their apprentices that painted their work.
Right.
But they taught them how to paint like them so that they could reproduce.
Oh.
And so that they could create more.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And a lot of them, when they studied, would have gone and been apprentices for famous artists and created work. And then, or painted like right beside us is like a big oil painting on our kitchen wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they would have painted three of those fish, and then like another apprentice would have painted another fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Da Vinci would have painted like the background and like signed it or whatever. But it would have been a Da Vinci piece of work.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would have been more of a production line, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's a living.
And also all of these artists need to learn how to paint and draw and do it. And that's what an apprentice did.
Mm.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Isn't that mad?
That's mad, isn't it?
That's mad.
That's mad.
Should we start a new podcast called That's Mad?
We should get people to write in their most horrifyingly complex problems.
Uh-huh.
And then we read them out. And then our response is always, that's mad.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's mad. That's wild.
Mad. So yeah, my general thoughts.
Sorry about that.
So sorry. That's
welcome to mad. That's Mad. We've got several really harrowing stories.
That would be awful. It would be harrowing stories, and then we're just like, anyway, that's mad.
That's mad, next. Isn't it?
So generally.
So? Sorry. Anyway.
Generally,
so.
I would say, if I could describe it in 5 words.
Okay.
Long.
Okay.
Silly.
Uh-huh. Silly's good. Good silly?
Yeah, like silly.
Okay.
English, I would say, or very British.
Yeah.
A real British interpretation of France. Is what I would say.
You're right. The only French guy was that boy in the background in the cafe.
Yeah.
The artist, he was definitely French. He had a real attitude.
Which artist?
The sketcher at the start in episode 1.
Oh, yeah.
He gets angry.
Yeah.
That was a terrible thing to say. I'm going to cut that out.
No, I think you should reveal yourself. Lacking? Yeah.
Lacking in what?
I think you just we've already identified some really fun missed opportunities, like more story that they could have had.
I know, but can criticizing a show for not doing storylines that you'd like to see?
Well, then, what is criticism then? If not.
No, I think criticism. Okay, sorry. No, keep going. You're right. I should just listen to you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't be sorry.
I'm being defensive.
I would like to say, yes, that every time I bring up something, you are very defensive about it.
Okay.
Because I'm saying lacking because throughout this, when I've been bringing it up, you're like, well, you know, it was the 70s. You know, they were in a rush.
That's not what I mean.
They had a writer and he didn't do a good job, so Douglas Adams and the producer stepped in and blah blah blah. It's like, Richie, literally they missed an incredible opportunity to go through actual time as this person is the creator of the world.
I know, it's very funny me saying all this as well, and you'd be like, well, why the fuck are you making me watch it in 2024?
Yeah.
On a Saturday night?
Yeah.
That would be a fair response. But no, that's not what I mean. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just like, ugh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm being like. You're right, I'm just being a dick.
And then my fifth, and it's actually two words, so five and six, would be Good Doctor.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's like the one.
The iconic one, yeah. He was great. Like, I really liked him as a doctor. I like that he's got like the, his like kind of madness, like fiery madness is I think what all the good modern doctors have.
Yeah. With it, he's got like a grump. There's a he's fun,
but he's also
kind of grumpy.
Yeah.
Like
he's seen it all before.
Yeah. There's always a sense. I always feel with Tom Baker, he's moving. The people around him aren't moving, as a character, the people around him aren't moving fast enough.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting frustrated, and that's where his grumpiness comes from. But also, all the stuff I really enjoy, like how, like it's that very Doctor Who thing of like, acting the clown, but always being...
He's always watching.
Always on the ball, but acting like, you know, disarming everyone by being a bit...
Disarming is a good word for it. I think Peter Capaldi is very like that.
Yeah.
He's very good at, or like just what you were saying about how everyone around him is not moving quick enough.
Yeah.
You definitely get that from Capaldi.
Yeah.
Which
Matt,
is why
Matt Smith was good at that as well, because Matt Smith had that sort of gangly, like, ooh, I'm very silly. And then suddenly he's like, I'm a scary man.
Which doctor is the first doctor to have... Okay, here's a test for you.
Okay.
About my... Doctor Who-ness.
Uh-huh.
What, for me...
Your Doctor Who-ness.
Which is, like, nothing.
Graham Who-ness.
What, for me, is the scariest thing of all time?
What, for you?
Yeah. That I cannot watch.
Oh, the Weeping Angels.
Oh, I can't handle them. They're the most terrifying thing ever.
The Weeping Angels are great.
They literally were in my nightmares. They're
really?
So... Yeah, they are... The most terrifying thing ever. Like, because everyone blinks. You have to close your eyes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's the no move. It's the moving but not moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Who's the first... Like, when do they first appear?
David Tennant.
Oh, are they? So they're not part of the old...
Yeah, they're a Stephen Moffat creation. They're the episode with Carey Mulligan. Blink.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get another episode, a couple of episodes with Matt Smith.
Oh, where they go through the thing, the wall, the time rip.
Oh yeah. With the spaceship. Yeah, so no, that's they're a new one.
How would you describe the episode we just watched? The four episodes, correction, that we just watched in five words.
Five words.
Yeah.
Okay. Whip smart.
That's two words.
No, I'm just
you've got three left.
Gav. I'd say smart. I'd say funny.
Uh huh.
Nicely paced.
Okay.
And iconic.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. What about it is iconic?
I think it's got, well, it's got some of the best. It's got some of the best lines.
Name one.
A big one is, "I love your butler." What was it? Your butler's so wonderful. I love your butler. He's so violent.
Yeah, okay, that was good. Do you know what? For me,
and I love the one as well when he pulls out the gun and Duggan picks up the chair.
That was good.
And he shouts at him. He's like, Duggan, that's a... I can't remember the name of the chair.
A Louis Cateau's...
Yeah.
What's 14 in French? Cateau's...
I don't know. But
deux,
it's...
Trois, quatre. Do you know what I didn't like about it, right?
That there was Dr. Romana up the Eiffel Tower. And... yeah, it was just great.
It wasn't enough laser. Why were all the guns like guns from the '70s? Why didn't they have laser guns?
Because it was set in 1979.
Yeah, but everyone's in from space. Like, why? Everyone's from a different technology.
Ugh, lasers.
Why was there no lasers?
Boring.
There wasn't a lot of technology.
Especially like lasers in old TV programs. You haven't experienced lasers in TV programs. It's like a fucking a crap red line appears on the screen for a second.
Why did you want me to watch that episode?
I chose that episode. I thought you would like it. I was wrong.
I didn't hate it. I just would have liked it to be shorter.
Well, okay. Let's be honest here. If you were coming in blind to Doctor Who, I would have shown you a new one.
Okay. Which new one would you have shown
me? But I can't show you any new ones. I probably would have showed you something like, I don't know, Silence in the Library or something.
That's one of my favourite episodes. That's a good episode.
So I probably would have shown you that one. But
or any episode with the Ood. I love the Ood.
I know you love the Ood, yeah. Or like the empty child, the one with the gas mask kid. That was a scary one for you.
That was scary.
I showed you this one because while no Doctor Who really has any sort of romance in it, I thought there's a hint of romance. There's something slightly romantic about this one.
What?
It's just nice. It's fun. Everyone's having a good time.
Is that what romance is to you?
No, I don't mean romance like people fancying each other romance. I mean the romance of the moment and the...
Of, like, the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't hate it. I think if I had never seen Doctor Who before at all, that wouldn't have won me over.
Okay.
I think I would have wanted something a bit more spacey.
Oh, interesting. So what do you mean by spacey?
Like there was
more sci-fi.
Yeah, like there was one episode that I think you watched quite recently, or maybe a couple months ago, that I walked in on, and it's like that mad guy with a big face, and it was like a Phantom of the Opera mask thing.
Oh, the Pirate Planet.
That was mad. That was so fun. That was fun.
That, oh God, do you know what's funny about the Pirate Planet? That was also written by Douglas Adams.
Oh wow, okay. Because I remember walking into the room and going, "Oh, what are you watching?"
And then made you laugh.
Yeah, and then I came back in and you were still watching it, and I was like, "This is funny." Actually.
Well, it is funny. I think I chose it as well because it does, like the dialogue and stuff is a bit more modern Doctor Who, just in terms of it being a bit more, like having a bit more fun with it.
Yeah.
So God knows how fans were reacting to it at the time, because obviously the season after this one, it's like we're not laughing anymore. The jokes
are done.
It's like not hard sci-fi, but you know what I mean.
How many seasons was he the Doctor?
He did it for 7 years.
That's quite a long time.
Actually the longest, not technically the longest.
Is that because he wouldn't leave, or just because people loved him so much as a Doctor?
I think he loved doing it.
Yeah.
I think people loved him doing it. He is, like we said before, he is, like, if they want to make a Doctor Who reference on American TV.
That's who I think about. Exactly. Doctor Who, yeah.
Like, he is the one. He's like, you know, Tom Baker turns up in The Simpsons, or when he, you know, not actually Tom Baker, like they'll draw Doctor Who and it'll be Tom Baker and stuff like that. So he's the scarf, it's the big coat, everything.
Yeah.
But also at the time he was just like probably the most famous man in the country. So it was just like.
Do you agree that he had that, him and my dad have the same vibe after I said that to you and then you watched it?
I can see it. I didn't really get to know your dad like you did, obviously.
Yeah.
But from what you tell me about him, it's like, I can see that.
Yeah.
There's like, I'm having fun, but also, let's not push it. Don't say anything stupid.
Yeah. Don't be an idiot. No, it was good, my love. Sorry. No, it was good, Richie. I enjoyed it. Do you know what I enjoy the most? I enjoyed us just sitting and chatting about it. It's been fun.
Yeah. The end. Sorry, no, it's not. I'm kidding.
Well, do you have questions for me?
No. I mean, no. We're just chatting, but like, no. I think it's yeah. I think it's nice that you shared that with me. It's always nice doing this podcast that I get to get the people that I care about endure a bit of something that I love. So that means you'll have to start a podcast where you make me watch something. What's it going to be?
McLeod's Daughters.
Not McLeod. You don't even watch McLeod's Daughters anymore.
No, I never finished it.
McLeod's Daughters. Tell people what McLeod's Daughters is.
McLeod's Daughters is a TV show from Australia. A very, 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 very famous Australian TV
very, very, show. Very, very, like that very, very, fantasy, very, the Silverlock story.
Yeah, very, very, very famous. Australian TV show, like iconic, about...
You look like Donald Trump. It's very good. Very, very famous.
Iconic.
It's about a farm.
It's about a farm, and their dad passes away, and the daughters take over the farm. And, we got, you know, a high-powered city slicker daughter. We got the daughter that stayed home that worked the farm. And it went on for a very long time. I think it was like in the mid-80s, early 90s.
Oh, wow.
It would have been around the same time as Neighbours, but it was like that. It was that famous. Like, it contended.
It would have been famous.
Like, if you ask any Australian.
Any Australian. Or if an Australian be like, what do you know about McLeod's Daughters? And they'd be like, let me tell you. What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Hello. It's Richie here, utilising the magic of time travel and editing to let you know that at this point we move on to talking about Neighbours and Home and Away for around 15 minutes, and I'm sorry, but that is absolutely not being left in, so I'll take you to the bit right after all of that.
My butt is going numb.
Okay, sorry, we should wrap this up. I'll do a couple of wee things and then we'll stop, but because I'll cut out all that Neighbours chat.
Why?
Because it's boring.
Well, then I'm just going to sing the Neighbours theme tune underneath whatever you're going to
sing. No, don't.
You can't cut out.
No. Don't do that.
Okay, I won't. I won't.
You won't?
I
promise.
Won't sing it. I won't.
You promise?
I won't sing it.
Okay. You're already swaying. You're literally swaying.
My ass is going numb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. So. You done? So the chances are, it seems to me like you're probably we're not going to be watching a lot of classic Doctor Who together.
No, I mean, if it hasn't happened in the last 5 years, it's not going to happen now.
Okay. But that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
that
a me
fine.
Thing. It's a thing I get to do by myself.
Yeah, and you love it. You love watching it by yourself. It's fine.
Yeah. What's it like going out with a Doctor Who fan? It's a real pitch to the single ladies of the audience. I should probably
it's good, it's nice. I think what I really like about it the most is that, and I've said this to you before, I think it's really cool that there's so much like passion and like community around it. Like, you have hundreds and thousands of people all around the world that you can talk to about it, and I think that is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like any Doctor Who fan is alone.
No. And I think what's interesting, cool. What is funny about Doctor Who fandom is that our brains are all cooked in the same way. Like, we're all, like, absolutely ruined by it. It's like a weird, it's done something to us that has created an obsession, but what's really nice about it is that when you meet up and hang out or talk to or have a group chat with Doctor Who fans, you're like, oh, we're all equally obsessed, and it's fine.
Yeah, and I think that's really nice. Some of the bonuses.
The bonuses, okay. Hit me.
Being with a Doctor Who fan, I have got to discover Doctor Who, which is quite cool. That's it. We've had some interesting arguments about Doctor Who paraphernalia in the house.
Oh yeah, like and what? The Blu-rays. We're talking about the Blu-rays, aren't we?
The Blu-rays and the fucking Cyberman biscuit tin that I hate. But you're like, it's for the office. It's never been in the office. Ever. You've never brought it to the office.
It's a nice big Cyberman head. How can you not like that?
Well,
I also realised the other day, I was tidying the house the other day and I was like, I realised that I placed various Paul McGanns.
I know, I've seen them.
They're all wearing different jackets.
Okay, actually, I want to watch the Paul McGann film.
Have we not watched it?
No, we've never watched it.
That's insane, because I already gave it to Danny, but that would have been perfect, because it's so 90s telly.
Yeah.
It's so 90s telly.
I probably would have loved it.
You would have loved it.
And yeah, I mean, ladies, gentlemen, others, just every Doctor Who fan is unique in their own way. So embrace them and love them as best you can.
On that note, thank you very much for listening.
Do you think you'll have me back?
Sure.
No.
Why not?
I'm sorry. If you have ever been not you, and you, that is the ultimate Richie Morgan lie. When you go, sure.
Is it?
100%, because also you don't make eye contact.
Oh, I see.
Sure.
Yes. Ask me again.
Would you have me back?
Yes.
On your Doctor Who podcast?
Yes.
Talking about Doctor Who?
Yes.
Doing the same level of note-taking?
Absolutely. The note-taking was good. It means I didn't have to take any notes. You just went for it. You just created the entire structure for the podcast.
Yeah. Well,
nobody else takes notes like that.
Someone had to, didn't they?
You were taking notes as I was shoving an ice lolly into my mouth.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to my house.
You're welcome. Let's go watch telly.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Everybody needs good neighbors with a little understanding. You can find the perfect blend. Neighbors should be there for one another. That's when good neighbors become.